Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Angel investors write checks out of their own capital. They are using their own savings and investments, and they consider this an asset class. Early stage investing is an asset class for their own portfolio.
Welcome to Everyone's Talking Money podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Game. There's no judgment, no dumb questions, just smart conversations about you and your money. So come on in and grab a seat. Everyone is welcome here. Welcome, friends. It's so good to have you here for this exciting episode. You know, being an entrepreneur myself, I've always known that the trickiest part of running your own business or starting your own side hustle, it's the money part, right? How do you get enough money to get up and running? You could borrow money from friends and family, use your own cash, or look for investors who believe in your idea. In this episode, we're talking all about a different form of investing called angel investing. It's just like the name sounds. There are angels out there, people out there who have sources of money who are looking to invest in businesses that they believe in. And how angel investing is actually helping women bridge the gender gap in entrepreneurship and start some kick-ass businesses. Loretta McCarthy is the co-CEO and managing partner of Golden Seeds, one of the largest and most active angel investment networks in the U.S., and by far the largest that invests in early-stage women-led companies. Yes, please, we need more of that. Loretta is here to give you all the details on what angel investing is, how angel investing can help jumpstart your business, how to get your company all set up for investors, and so much more. All my fellow entrepreneurs out there, this episode is for you. Let's start talking. I've got a lot of stats that I found that I kind of want to rattle off and have us dive deep into this, but I found that women have started 49% of new businesses in the U.S. in 2021, which really surprised me. That was up from 28% in 2019, And you and I both know women entrepreneurship, it's growing around the world, but there are still obstacles that remain. Men obviously still outnumber women 3-1 when it comes to business ownership. I myself has been an entrepreneur almost my whole career. And I know that when you're starting a business, one of the things you obviously need is cash. And it's got to come from somewhere, either your bank account, a grant, a loan, or an investor, but you got to come up with some sort of capital. And so I was excited to chat with you because I've always been intrigued about this idea of angel investing and how it can really help women entrepreneurs. So I thought maybe we would just start here. Like, just give me an overview of what angel investing is and how is that different from venture capital?
Thank you, Shauna. Angel investing is an industry of early stage investors. And angel investors are people who are fascinated with entrepreneurship. They're often fascinated with innovation in many ways, and they are willing and eager to write checks to invest in startup companies. There are actually 350,000 people in this country who are angel investors. Many of them are part of organized networks, such as the one I run, but many of them invest individually in companies that they meet. So angel investors write checks out of their own capital. They are using their own savings and investments, and they consider this an asset class. Early stage investing is an asset class for their own portfolio. Venture capital is actually on the spectrum of early stage investing, but people who are doing venture capital investing are investing other people's money. It's very different from angel investors who are writing their own checks. So a venture capitalist may have taken in a lot of money from individual investors who do want to participate in early stage investing. And then the venture capitalist decides what they'll invest in. So it's a very different dynamic because they're investing other people's money.
So then I would imagine with angel investing, it's very much the types of businesses, maybe different sectors that really excite you as an individual. Like, that is what you're looking for as an angel investor, right?
It can be, and it very often is, that people are very interested in healthy food, so they invest in that, or they're interested in medical devices, or they're interested in treatments of certain diseases or conditions that they may have some familiarity with. So there often are reasons people are drawn to certain kinds of investments. There are also groups of angel investors that invest geographically. They only invest in a state or a county where they're trying to grow jobs and they're trying to help companies grow. So as a result, there are opportunities for people to be very specific about what they're interested in. Okay. And then sometimes they are very much more general. They are just groups of people who are looking for really interesting opportunities to invest in startups.
So it runs the gamut.
It does indeed.
And I think one of the interesting things that I've seen over the last, you know, couple of years with the pandemic is we're still in this kind of mass exodus of people leaving corporate jobs. I think the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, somewhere around 47 million Americans voluntarily quit their jobs. So I'm curious, because you're in this world all day long, you know, what do you think the future is for female entrepreneurs, given the kind of environment we're in right now?
The current environment always influences how much innovation is happening and also how much capital is available for startups. But I will say that when it comes to innovation right now, is that the pandemic in many ways influenced many entrepreneurs to start things that they had never done before. It was a moment of inspiration for a lot of people. So in my organization at Golden Seeds, and of course we invest only in companies led by at least one woman, we were We were worried at the beginning of the pandemic as to whether how much innovation there actually would be. And we were quite surprised and gratified to see that the innovation did not stop. In fact, it increased. And many, many women found ideas that somehow related, sometimes related to the pandemic, but maybe just were ideas they'd been thinking about for a while, and the pandemic gave them an opportunity to act on it. So it has, you know, there is right now, we are in a moment where you mentioned, for instance, the many, many companies that have been started in the last few years. We are at a point where women, since we focus on women particularly, where women have the highest level of education that they have ever had in history. They have the skills to be able to start businesses. They frequently have the professional networks to be able to actually step out, raise capital, attract talent, grow businesses at a fast pace. So there is very much forward momentum in terms of what women are doing in general. And then you add to that this very real appetite for many angel investors to invest in startups, it's really working well on their behalf.
Well, that's exciting to hear, Loretta. It's exciting to hear that there is momentum and that things are really changing for women. And sometimes I believe that we need, I mean, obviously I did not want a global pandemic, but having something that just shake things up for people and maybe awakens them to, you know, I have this idea I really want to do. If I don't do it now, like, when am I ever going to do it? So I love that this time, although it was scary and of course never wanting people to lose lives or get sick or anything like that, but hopefully, you know, prompted some people to just take some action on ideas.
Right, exactly.
So I also want to ask you, Loretta, the stats are showing that both, you know, Black and Hispanic owned businesses, they're on the rise, but there's still a lot of work to do promoting these type of businesses and really getting them to a place where they're successful, where they can, you know, be businesses that keep going for years and years. You know, what are you seeing in terms of trends? And I guess what can be done to really financially lift Black, Hispanic-owned businesses up so that they can have this long-term success?
For the last several years, there has been so much good energy that has been focused on people of color. It has definitely become a big part of the narrative of what we discuss and what we are observing. It is true that when women of color, particularly Black and Hispanic, are building a business and they are coming for funding, it is very possible that they did not have a lot of their own resources that they could put into the early stages of their company. So they might be seeking funding at a particularly early stage. So we do have those conversations of how do we make sure that companies and entrepreneurs that may not have a lot of personal resources or family resources to get them going still have a shot at having a successful business. I'm very happy to say that there are increasingly organizations, accelerators, incubators. Those are organizations that gather together entrepreneurs to get them ready for funding and train them on how to talk about their business and how to think in really quite grand terms about how they might be able to grow the businesses to be much larger than they might have originally imagined. And I am very happy to say that there are more and more of those that are either solely focusing on entrepreneurs of color, not just women, but entrepreneurs of color or diverse more broadly, or in some cases are focusing on women of color or diverse women. So it is, they're getting off to a faster start. You know, I will also say that in our organization, 40% of the companies that applied in the last 18 months actually are women of color. Wow. So we are seeing more, and they are increasingly gaining the confidence and the vision to be able to present their businesses in ways that we may not have seen, let's say, 5 years ago. So there's, you know, it's in many ways, it aligns with what we started out to do 18 years ago when people were not accustomed to even funding women. And that with they were not the prototypical entrepreneur that got funded in large numbers to go on to build great companies. So we really relate to this path that entrepreneurs of color are on, because some of it is just creating the conditions, creating an environment in which they will be seriously considered, they will be treated respectfully, and they have a real shot at being funded. And that's exactly what we said about women for years, but now you can use exactly that phrase to talk about entrepreneurs of color.
Oh, I love it. That is so exciting. And I'm wondering if there's somebody listening right now and maybe they've just started a business or they're kind of in the early stage, do you have any tips or pointers of like what they should be thinking about to really get their business ready for the presentation in front of angel investors?
There's, of course, it differs based on what the business is that they are running, but it's very important to have a vision, essentially a business plan, but it doesn't have to be 50-page business plan. It's basically a clarity around what you want to do with this business and where you think you will go over the next 1 to 3 years. Investors at this very early stage, we're not asking entrepreneurs to explain to us where they're going to be in 10 years. It's impossible to know. But it's very important when you're talking to someone who usually is working with an idea or a little bit of progress, and they've maybe created a product, or maybe they have some customers, it's very important for them to be able to explain, if I were to take in a certain amount of capital, what would I do with it? Mm. Where would that get me to the point where I might actually come back for more capital so that I can begin to scale my business? And it's, you know, in our organization, we look for entrepreneurs who have a vision of their own companies, because if they don't have a vision, no one else is going to have it for them. So it's a matter of saying, all right, am I buying into that person's vision of what they believe they can do with this company? And very often, taking in an amount of capital doesn't have to be a huge sum of money to be able to prove some concept that says the marketplace is willing to pay for my idea. The marketplace says that if I were to build out this product or this service, they will pay money for it. So the more proof that an entrepreneur has about what they might do with an infusion of capital, the more enthusiastic we become as we hear them share their vision. Mm-hmm. We often say that although it's certainly important to start with a good idea and start with a vision of what you're going to do and have a real product and a real service, it has to, all of those things have to be there. But we often say, and I think many, many people who are angel investors would agree with this, that at the end of the day, we are investing in the people.
Right.
We're investing in their ability to share their vision, make adjustments along the way, because usually whatever they describe at the beginning will not be exactly that in a year or 3 years. So we're really investing in their wisdom to understand, listen to the marketplace, listen to their advisors, whoever they might be, and then adapt. And that then you can get excited saying, this person kind of knows how to use her judgment along the way.
Okay, that's some good juicy info. I love that. So, okay, we've got our business to this point where we have this vision, we're able to communicate it. You know, we have an idea of what we want to create, where we want to go. Can you walk us through then, how does angel investing work? So what steps do we need to take from there as an entrepreneur?
Usually the entrepreneur reaches a point where they realize that they need some capital that will allow them to take their business to a new level. And it is an amount of capital that they don't have on their own. So they really just need to turn to the outside, to people who do not know them, and start putting their story together. So the first thing is that recognition. I am ready for prime time to go out and start pitching my business. Then they need to think about what are angel investors, because there's not as though people are familiar and or even in contact with people who are angel investors. But they do, they can start thinking about talking to people, and good entrepreneurs talk to everyone about getting ideas about where they might turn to find capital. Their bankers probably can tell them about some local angel investors. There are many, many cities have groups of angel investors who work as a network within their location. There actually are 250 groups of angel investors in this country. So there are many, and they can be found on a website, which is the Trade Association website. It's called the Angel Capital Association. So it's angelcapitalassociation.org. There is a section there where you can find the angel groups. So if you're in the state of Illinois, you can go find Illinois, find out what groups are there, and that might be a good place to start where you're located. Or in such as in the case of Golden Seeds, we actually have locations all over the country, but people can find their way to us if the company is led by at least one woman. So, and there are, for instance, groups that specialize only in life sciences, so you can find your way to those. But it's a very handy list, because if an entrepreneur goes in and clicks on the website for each of those groups, they start picking up the vocabulary of how do these people talk? What are they looking for? Because usually their own websites will have something about, here's what we invest in, here's what we look for, here's how you get started with us. So the sooner an entrepreneur can kind of learn that vocabulary and develop the kind of a point of view about where they might start, because eventually there's just no substitute for getting in front of people and starting to tell your story and be as prepared as possible.
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. That's monarchmoney.com/etm for your extended 30-day free trial.
Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money, so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 3.5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp. Just go to ramp.com/today. ramp.com/today. ramp.com/today.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of DIC. Terms and conditions apply.
I love that. Yeah. I know, being an entrepreneur myself, I have a million and one ideas. And I always say that when I run out of ideas, that will probably be the day I pass away.
I just
look out in the world and just see ideas. And a lot of them, of course, I don't do anything with. But for me, that's fun. So I would imagine, you know, any entrepreneurs that are listening, and just encourage them to do what you're saying, to get out and talk to people and share your ideas, even if it's still in the infancy stage. That feedback is really great. And I would love to know from you, Loretta, like, how did you get excited about, getting involved with angel investing and starting Golden Seeds?
I spent over 25 years on Wall Street. So I did have some knowledge of the capital markets. So the financial side came quite naturally to me. I also had always been very involved with issues relating to women in all of the various jobs I've had in my career. So it was very natural for me to gravitate toward something that would that really stood for the advancement of women. So when I learned that this organization, which was I'm not the founder of this, I did come shortly thereafter, but when I learned that Stephanie Newby was creating this organization, it seemed like a perfect fit. Because for me, I thought it tapped into my keen understanding of the challenges that women faced in many levels of professional life. I felt that it could use my financial skills and also my professional skills in other ways, and would probably be, you know, a really wonderful team sport. There is a thing about angel investing. Wherever there are networks of people who do angel investing, all of us would say this is a team sport. So if you're not enthusiastic about team sports, this may not be for you, but many of us just love it. You meet an interesting company, you gather together with a few people, you start working on evaluating the company, getting to know the entrepreneur, getting to know each other, and it makes life really interesting and actually does, in our opinion, produce better results because you have more people kicking the tires and more people evaluating a deal. So that's kind of how it all came to pass for me. And I just decided this is quite a perfect fit for my interests and skills.
And I would imagine because you have this expertise in the financial side of things, maybe you have some pearls here. We probably talked about most of this, but I'm just curious as an entrepreneur myself, like, are there any things you can point to that really make the difference between, you know, let's say company A or company B, like which one is more profitable? Like, are there any, I don't know, any like special sauce or anything you can share with us about what really makes a company profitable?
It's a little hard to talk about what makes a company profitable, but I have many opinions, Shauna, about what makes companies stand out. And I would say, you know, at Golden Seeds, we see 1,000 companies a year. So we obviously are trying to say who of all of the companies coming through are really kind of noticeable and standing apart from all the rest. And I would say, first of all, it's important to be doing something, if at all possible, that is differentiated. Meaning that that does not mean that you can't start a business that has been done before or is even being done in your own nearby. But in order to attract capital, investors will often say, is there something unique and differentiating about the way this person is approaching this business? So it is often, and some of that is because we are hoping that the company can succeed without just being replicated and copied, or the competition, you know, the more competition there is, the less interesting a company is. So if you say this is not likely to have a lot of competition doing exactly what they're doing, assuming that what they're doing is interesting and marketable, often it's the question of how unique is their approach to whatever it is they're doing. It's also important, particularly when people are asking people to invest in their companies, for the entrepreneur to be quite conscious, or let me just say it this way, very good stewards of money. So of course they need to spend money to grow. We know that. But we are always very watchful to be sure that they are conscious of how they're going to run the business financially. So even if the entrepreneur doesn't have a financial background, whether she likes it or not, she's now in the business of managing payroll, managing production costs, maybe managing overhead and rent and leases. And so it is really important to be an excellent manager of your business, including having a good facility to understand the numbers and how much you're spending on what and what it's costing you and are there better ways to do it and so forth. So I think it inspires investors to invest more if they feel that the entrepreneur is doing a great job kind of managing the enterprise and also, you know, is a really conscious about how they're using the money that has been invested in their company. So another thing we often think about at Golden Seeds is, because we want these companies to grow, which means that we want them to be able to get big enough that they have many more people working for them. So we often do think about their management style. You know, is this a person who will be able to attract great talent? And will they be a good team leader to these people? And, you know, very often they get to the point where they may not want that role anymore. But in these early stages, if they're bringing in capital and they say, because I'm going to hire, you know, five more people, you part of the evaluation is, will they do a good job with that? Okay. Will they be able to be successful hiring the right people for the right job, training them in the right way, and creating a work environment where people will want to stay and help them grow a big business?
Interesting. I mean, so many things that you don't think about that really goes into the ultimate success. I'm curious too, if you do have any success stories that you can share with us of how angel investing has really benefited a female entrepreneur.
We have a lot. and I'm thrilled to say that we've had some very nice successes. One that might be particularly notable is that we had an exit last December of a company called Little Passports. It might be a company. It is a known company. It is an edutainment company, children's edutainment company, that is based in San Francisco. They started this business, I think, about 10 years ago, and they basically are a subscription business, so parents and grandparents buy these gifts of educational material about the world and about STEM education and geography that are sent to children. It's very, very charming. And it had a very nice exit last December, being sold to another edutainment company. It was started by two women who had started their careers together at eBay, so they had a lot of professional experience. And it's a great example of a vision that these women had. They had children of their own who were trying to provide some of these same kinds of things to them, but they were also very good stewards of capital. They grew to a very nice level to the point that they had a wonderful exit, meaning they were sold to another company. But they stuck to their knitting, I would say, throughout the journey in which I knew them. They knew what they were trying to create. They did expand their product line very cautiously over time. And they also became a brand. And that's an extra bonus. They became known, they advertised, many people in their target market know the name Little Passports, and their known brand added to the value at the time that they were acquired. So, you know, I just think that they are a really fine example of a company that was cautious, thoughtful, careful. They knew their market, they knew what they wanted, and they got to the finish line.
Yeah, I'm familiar with them. I love their product. That's so amazing to hear a story like that. I think that's so fantastic. And I have to ask maybe the opposite of that question too. You know, what advice would you give for entrepreneurs maybe that they keep getting turned down? Maybe they're applying for venture capital or for angel investing funds, but they just don't have everything together. What advice would you give them?
Without having a specific example, it's hard to say, but I do think, you know, they, can certainly examine themselves to determine, am I doing something that is sufficiently, like I said earlier, differentiating to capture the attention? Like, really, why am I not getting funded? And is there something about my business that is flawed? I don't know. It may be that, you know, it's a very crowded marketplace. So it just may be that on that given day, they weren't the most interesting company in the room. But I think it is important to be, to really do some self-reflection and say, you know, what am I learning here? Is there something that I need to adapt in my own business? I will also say, however, that many entrepreneurs who have had very, very fine successes of raising capital will say that at the beginning, they were declined constantly and they just had to stick with it. So I would say if somebody has been declined a handful of times, just keep at it, but always listen and ask for feedback. If somebody's declining many times, they will provide some feedback. That might comment on how they present their story or how they how good the idea is in their opinion. So, because I think you can always keep refining and fine tuning the way you talk about your business.
I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using DeleteMe and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide DeleteMe with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have DeleteMe. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. DeleteMe is not just a one-time service. DeleteMe is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for DeleteMe, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, just having that introspective moment and trying to figure out, like, is there something I can tool or, you know, retool or shake up or make a little bit different?
Yeah.
I think is great. You know, we could probably all do that no matter what stage we are with our business.
And I would say there's nothing as powerful as success. So if a company has been turned down a few times, but then suddenly they get a big customer, or a contract, or they, you know, have some, that does change how people will see them as a possibility. So they really, really need to be able to talk about how the marketplace is now telling us that this is a good idea because of these successes.
Okay. You know, where do you think entrepreneurship is going? You know, we've got the possible recession looming. Are we going to see more people pivoting into businesses, especially women? Are we going to see them just continuing to kind of capture this moment?
It's very early. We don't really know if we're headed into a recession. I can say that so far we have not seen a change among our group. We have 350 investors here, so we're a pretty large sample size. We haven't seen a big change, at least not yet. But I do feel that for entrepreneurs, and I do feel that angel investors who have some amount of capital that they've already allocated to this asset class, they will keep investing up to a point. I do feel that entrepreneurs have to realize that it may be tighter.
Right, okay.
It may be it also may be harder to get your first capital in these conditions because you're kind of competing against companies that are going back to those same investors for additional capital in order to help them get through this period. So you're getting first capital might become tougher, although I have to say we haven't seen it yet. It's definitely important for any entrepreneur, whether they are already cooking and growing or not, to be very, very careful of cash during this time. Because if business slows down, that means that they will just not have as much cash to spend on growth or other things that they're thinking about. So they have to have a mindset that says, be really careful during this time until they know how the marketplace is reacting to their business during this time. So, you know, there is such a thing as being too cautious or overcorrecting, but it is really important to be thoughtful about how you want to get through this period of time, whatever it becomes, kind of standing proud on your feet, still existing and still growing, hopefully. Because you were really thoughtful about how you moved through this period.
We're putting up the caution flags. Well, Loretta, this has been such a great conversation. I know a personal goal of mine, and maybe hopefully somebody else listening, is that one day they could become an angel investor themselves. What do we need to know if that is our goal, if we would love to invest in businesses?
There are many opportunities to be an angel investor. I'm personally a fan of becoming part of a network of angel investors because it is known that the results are generally better and that it is a lot of fun to do this work with other people. And as I said, that's all available on the angelcapitalassociation.org website. Many of those organizations and their websites, including ours, will have a section that explains how you can contact somebody about becoming a member there. And almost all organizations will allow somebody to come and sit in on a meeting to observe it, because you're joining an organization and you want to imagine, I could fit in there and I could have a lot to contribute and I would like to be part of that organization. So many of them will invite prospective members to come and have a look and meet with people. So there's lots of ways to do it, but there's also training. And that's one for people who are not angel investors now. There are training programs. We at Golden Seeds, we have a training program. It's on our website, goldenseeds.com. It's called the Knowledge Institute. And you can take the training that is designed for investors. You don't have to be a current member of Golden Seeds to take a course. We have 9 classes, so that's a lot of options. And for people who haven't done any of this, taking a course might be a way to get started and just sort of pick up on the vocabulary and see how people interact in this work. And the Angel Capital Association also has courses. So there's different ways to get going to try to imagine, is this something that I would like to make part of my life?
I don't know about you, but I am definitely all for us closing this gender gap in business startups. And I'm definitely for more women getting the money they need to start these amazing businesses. If you've been listening and are saying, hell yes, then I suggest you reach out to Loretta and learn all you can about angel investing. You can find her at Golden Seeds, that's SEEDS.com, where you can find all the membership info, get educated by checking out all the events Golden Seeds offers for entrepreneurs who are thinking about angel investing, and so much more. If you enjoyed this episode, do me a favor, share it with some friends and family members who you know might also want to learn a little something about angel investing. You can head to the show notes for all the links to our episode guest as well as our episode sponsors. I'll see you back here in a few days for a brand new episode.